Hello and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for November 2013, the start of the third year of these podcasts. Can't believe it. This month is a fairly good month for observing the planets. All seven of them are reasonably well placed to view, although the more distant planets Uranus and Neptune will need binoculars to see them. Jupiter is the best and most prominent object to view this month. It is even better if you look at it through binoculars or a small telescope. The point to note here is that if you do use binoculars, make sure that you use a camera tripod or a wall or fence to rest the binoculars on. This will stop the inevitable handshaking and make for some wonderful views. You should see the four largest moons of Jupiter, or sometimes just one, two or three, as some of them might be hiding behind or in front of the planet itself. If you have a reasonably powerful pair of binoculars or a telescope, then you might even be able to see the stripes on the planet's surface. So where to find Jupiter? It is currently in the constellation of Gemini, the twins, and Jupiter is very bright and really stands out. If you look south towards the end of the month at 3 a.m, the very bright object is bound to be Jupiter. Let's move on to the pair of planets that are closer to the Sun than the Earth, that's Venus and Mercury. Venus first. This is very obvious in the south-southwest, just after sunset at the beginning of the month. It is a very bright object, but because Venus and Mercury are very close to the Sun, do take care not to look at the Sun either directly or when you're using any binoculars or telescopes. Mercury is a little more difficult to find, very low down, but it's in the east-southeast of the sky towards the middle of November, just before sunrise. Okay, on to Mars, the red planet, and the best time to view Mars is just before dawn in the south-southeast. It is currently in the constellation of Virgo. And finally, Saturn, the ringed planet. You'll be able to see a hint of the rings with basic binoculars, but with a stronger pair you'll be able to make out the rings quite well. And it is best seen at the end of the month around 6 a.m. It's quite low down in the east-southeast at this time in the constellation of Libra. Now Mercury and Saturn will appear to pass close by each other around the end of the month, near the star Spica, which is the brightest star in the constellation of Virgo. More about this later. Now the Moon is also fun to observe with binoculars or with a small telescope. Don't, however, fall into the trap of looking at the full Moon or near the full Moon. While it is not dangerous, it is very bright and may cause some discomfort for a short while. It is much better to look at the Moon when it's crescent up to the half-moon phase. This way the light from the Sun is arriving from the side, and so the craters and mountains have a greater shadow relief and hence show up better. And the best time to view the Moon this month is at the start and end of the month, and especially around the new moon, which is on the 3rd. Full moon is on the 17th. The Leonid meteor shower occurs on the 16th to the 20th of November. Expect around 15 per hour. And now on to Comet Ison. Will it be the great comet of the year? If it does live up to expectations, and that's a big if, you should be able to see it either with binoculars or even with the naked eye. During November, the comet will be crossing the constellation of Virgo and then on into Scorpius. It should reach peak brightness when it is closest to the Sun, or as we say, when it reaches perihelion, and this will occur in the evening of the 28th of the month. Before then, on the 18th of November, the comet is due to pass very close to the bright star Spica, as I've already mentioned, the brightest star in Virgo. And on the 24th of November, Comet Ison will be very close to another comet, Comet Encke, and also at the same time very close by the planets Saturn and Mercury, which I previously mentioned will be passing close by each other. And this should hopefully get all four together and should be an amazing sight. Right, now we'll look at the sky and try to find some interesting things to look at. Take this podcast out with you and find a nice viewing location with a good view of the sky, with little or no light pollution, especially from sodium lights. And I'm assuming now that it's 8 p.m. at the start of the month. Look north. Can you see the Plough, or the Big Dipper, or the Saucepan? This is a well-known group of seven stars in the shape of a ladle or saucepan. And at this time of year, it's based downwards, or the right way up. Find the two stars on the right hand end. the two stars away from the handle, or furthest away from the handle, I should say, of the saucepan. Now trace a line upwards from these two stars, and the next star you'll find is Polaris, the pole star. Now look at the three stars forming the handle. Look closely at the middle of these three stars. How many stars can you see? You should be able to see two stars very close together. And these two stars used to be used as an eyesight test for the military. Now look towards the east, i.e. your right. You should see a fuzzy group of stars called the Pleiades. This looks really good in binoculars. And it's a group of really young, really hot stars, only about a few million years old. And you can still see some of the gas or nebulosity they formed out of left swirling around them. Now look up. You will see a W or an M, whichever way you look at it, made out of five stars. And this is, of course, Cassiopeia. Now look carefully along an arc through the length of Cassiopeia. Can you see what looks like a long, thin cloud? This is the Milky Way, and you are now looking towards the centre of our galaxy. Finally on to Leo. For this one you need to get up early in the morning. First of all find Orion in the southwest. Now look due south, and then look up about two-thirds of the way from the horizon to overhead. And you should see a backwards question mark. This is the Lion's Head. Now find the bottom bright star of this question mark, and this is Regulus, the brightest star in Leo. Now I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool is a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year. And these are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out next month for December's highlights. Bye for now.